As many of you know who are familiar with the story of David, he had several wives, and by those wives he fathered many children. This morning I just want to mention three of them because these three play a part in the story that leads up to what I want to talk about this morning. By one wife, David had a son named Absalom and a daughter named Tamar. And then by another wife, he had another son named Amnon. His son Amnon got in with the wrong crowd. And let me just say to the young people, just I want all the boys and girls, I want you to listen this morning, all right? I don't want you to talk to one another, I want you to listen. But to all the young people, you be careful who you pick as your friends. In fact, I would suggest to you, before you pick somebody to be your friend, and you may have never heard this before, but before you pick somebody to be your friend, before you spend time, a lot of time with somebody, you ought to bring them to your mom and dad and ask your mom and dad if it's okay for them to, for you to have them as a friend. Because you see, you're gonna be like the people that you have for your friends. You're gonna be like the people that you spend time with. And so it's so important that you pick good friends. It's so important that the people that you spend your time with have the godly characteristics that you want to have. I mean, if this goes for adults too, not just the children. If you want to learn to be more godly, then you pick godly friends. And you spend your time with godly people, and you'll become more godly. Now, if you want to be a cheater or a liar, then you pick as your friend somebody that cheats and lies, because you're going to be exactly like the people that you are friends with, that you run with. All right, now that just sort of an extra special this morning. That really wasn't in my message, but I just get that in. So Amnon, David's son, got in with the wrong crowd. And he does something terrible, wicked, vile to his half-sister Tamar. He rapes her. Absalom, who is Tamar's full brother, of course is upset, mad. He wants to take revenge on his half-brother Amnon. But he realizes that Amnon is one of the king's sons, so he doesn't do anything. But the hatred that he feels for Amnon and the revenge that he wants to take for Amnon grows in his heart. After 2 years, Absalom is shearing sheep. And as was the custom back then, they usually have a big party when they're shearing sheep, a time to celebrate because God has blessed. And so Absalom is, after 2 years after this has happened, Absalom is shearing sheep, and he goes to the king, David, and says, David, I'd like, or Dad, or whatever he called him, your highness. But he invited the king and all the king's sons to his sheep shearing party. You think we have weird reasons to have parties. Here's one. They were shearing sheep. But he invites the king and all his sons to his sheep shearing party. David says, Absalom, I can't come, but it's okay for all my other sons to come. And so Absalom plans this party. And before it happens, he calls his servants together. And he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get all my brothers drunk. And when I do, and when I give you the sign, I want you to go to Amnon, and I want you to kill him. I'm going to, this is 2 years worth of hate finally coming to life. 2 years worth of revenge finally taking form. He says to his servants, I'm going to get them all drunk. And when I give you the sign, I want you to take a spear. I want you to go to Amnon. I want you to run him through. That's exactly what happens. He has the party. He gets them all drunk. And when Absalom gives a sign, his servants go and run the spear through Amnon and kill him. Now, Absalom is still worried about what his father's going to do. Amnon was still a king's son, had a place in the royal court. And so he gets scared, and he flees, runs away to a land called Geshur. And for 3 years, he stays in that land. Now, during this time, David, of course, he mourned for his son Amnon. He had a time of mourning. But as time passed, and as he forgave Absalom for this wicked deed that he had done, he got to missing Absalom. And he got to thinking about Absalom. All right, another character comes into the story. Joab. Joab was David's top general. He was in charge of all of David's army. He was his right-hand man, his closest advisor. And Joab begins to notice how David is missing Absalom. I don't know how he noticed. Maybe he was just so close to the king. He knew what was going on. Or perhaps because they were so close, David talked to Joab and he said things. Boy, I miss my son Absalom. I miss him. And I don't have time to go into how he did it this morning, but Joab talks David into bringing Absalom back. In fact, David sends Joab, says, Joab, go to the land of Geshur and bring my son Absalom back. But tell him that he can come back to Jerusalem. He can live in Israel. He can live in the royal city. He can take his place as a king's son, but he cannot see my face. Joab says, fine. So he goes, gets him. He brings Absalom back to Jerusalem. And Absalom lives in Jerusalem for 2 years. Now think about it. 2 years without seeing his father's face. So really it's been 5 years altogether. The 3 years that he spent in this foreign land, the 2 years he's back in Jerusalem. Then comes what Walt read a moment ago. Absalom says, this is crazy. Now, that's for you Bible scholars, that's what it says in the Hebrew. This is crazy. This is crazy. Here I am, back in Jerusalem. I've taken my place as a king's son, but I cannot see my father's face. And so he sends word to the king. He says, Dad, could I come and see you? I'd like to see you. Your Majesty, could I come into your presence? I'd like to sit in the court. I'd like to see you again. And every time the answer comes back, no, no, no. Absalom says, I know what I'll do. I'll call Joab. And if I can get Joab, he's the one that's responsible for me being back in Jerusalem anyway. If I could get Joab to talk to Dad, maybe he could talk him into letting me come see him. It's sort of like if I wanted to see the president. I mean, he don't know me from anybody else. And if I would call President Bush, even if I could get him on the phone and said, Mr. President, I'd like an appointment with you. I have something I need to talk to you about. I would probably have very little chance of getting in to see the president. But if I knew his press secretary in a personal way, and I could get to talk to his press secretary, perhaps his press secretary could get me in to see the president. Absalom thought the same thing. He said, Joab and Dad are close. Joab is the king's closest advisor. If I could get Joab to talk to the king, he could get me in to see my father. And so Absalom says, that's what I'll do. And so he sends his servants over to Joab and to say, Joab, the king's son desires your presence. He'd like to see you. Come and see him. Joab doesn't come. Absalom sends his servants back the second time. He said, and they take this message. Joab, the king's son calls for you again. He'd like you to come and see him. He needs to talk to you. Come. Joab doesn't come again. And so Absalom says, I think I know how I can get him. They were neighbors. Their fields were right next to each other. He says, I bet you if I go and set his field on fire, that he'd come and see me. Now, this is crazy to me. I mean, his line of reasoning, that's like me calling Walt, and I get his answering machine, and I say, Walt, come and see me, and he doesn't come. And I get it again, and leave a message a second time, come and see me, and he didn't come. And I say, well, I guess I need to get Walt's attention. I'll go over and burn his house down, and then maybe he'll come and see me. But that's what Absalom was saying. And so he sends his servants. He gets his servants in. He says, you go burn Joab's field. Set it on fire. So one day, Joab's sitting at his breakfast table reading the Jerusalem news early in the morning. And he just happens to look out at his barley field. It's just about ready for harvest. A lot of work has gone into that field. I mean, he had to plow it and plant it and weed it and water it, fertilize it, and the barley's just about ready to be harvested. And he looks out one morning, and his field's on fire. And he sees he knows Absalom's servants. I mean, he's seen them. They're neighbors. He sees Absalom's servants standing there with torches, lighting his barley field. What does he do? He takes off his pajamas, gets his clothes on, and runs to Absalom's house. And he says, What in the world are you doing? Your servants are burning my barley field. What are you doing? And Absalom says, Joab, I called you once. You didn't come. I called you the second time. You didn't come. I didn't want to burn your barley field. I didn't want to do it. But Joab, I had to get your attention. I have to talk to you. So I burned your barley field to get your attention. Do you know, sometimes God has to burn our barley field. He comes to us and he says, hey, you need to come see the king's son. We don't come. He comes to us and calls to us again. You need to come. The king's son is calling you. You need to come. And we don't come. And God says, I don't want to do it. I don't want to burn their barley field. I don't want to bring tragedy into their life. But he says, I've got to get their attention. I've got something important I've got to talk to them about. And so the doctor says, it's cancer. Or so a little baby dies. Or so there's a tragic car accident that takes a husband or a wife. And God says, well, maybe you'll listen to me now. I didn't want to do that. Wouldn't have had to do it if you would have come the first time I called. Wouldn't have had to do it. Rodney, sit down. Sit down. Wouldn't have had to do it if you would have come the second time I called. But I had to get your attention. There was something important I wanted to talk to you about, so I had to burn your field. Now, there's three things over which God burns barley fields today. Three things I want to mention to you this morning real briefly. Number one, he'll burn a barley field when you don't come to his call for salvation. When he calls you to salvation, he wants you to come. And if he has to, he'll burn some barley fields to get your attention. God comes and he calls. He said, look, come to the Savior. You need to get saved. Come on. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. We say like Joab, well, I don't have time right now. I've got my mind on other things right now. I just can't come. And God comes back the second time. And he says, look, you need to get saved. You're a sinner. You're on your way to hell. Jesus is your Savior. You come. You come to the King's Son. Get saved. We don't come. God says, hey, I've got to get their attention. So he takes our job. He takes our health. He takes a child. He takes our spouse. Why? It happens. I've seen it happen time after time. I've heard it happen time after time. Why don't people look? This thing about getting saved is serious business with God. It's not a game. Look, he gave his only begotten son to buy our salvation. Don't you think that he's going to do something to get your attention before he lets you walk away and reject him? When Jesus died on the cross for your salvation, he paid a high price. And God says, look, I'm not going to lie. He don't want any of us to go to hell. And he'll call, and we'll refuse. And he'll call again, and we'll refuse. And he'll call again, and we'll refuse. But he says, look, I'm not going to let them go to hell without giving them every minute, every chance to get saved. And so sometimes he says, all right, I'll take that little baby. Or I'll take your husband. Or I'll take your wife. Or I'll take your child. Because I want you to get saved. He says in Matthew, and I think we talked about it not too long ago. He said, look, if your hand is keeping you in sin, keeping you from coming to Jesus, he said, cut it off. Cast it away from you. It's better to go through life maimed than it is to go to hell. He said, if your feet are keeping you in sin, keeping you away from Jesus, cut them off. It's better to go through life crippled than it is to go to hell. Now, my dear friend, if God takes salvation that serious, where he says to pluck out an eye or cut off a hand or cut off a foot, don't you think that he might burn some barley fields to get your attention? I read the story this week about a man down south. A pastor went to visit him in his home. And the first time he came, the man says, I don't want anything to do with God, and slammed the door in his face. The pastor didn't give up. He went to that house a second time, and the man came out of his door before the pastor could even get to the front porch. He said, look, I told you I don't want anything to do with God. Leave me alone. And ran him off out of the yard. The next week, that man's 15-year-old son was hunting. And he was crawling under a barbed wire fence and got his shirt caught on the barbed wire. And as he was on his back, pulling his way out of that fence, his gun went off and blew his head off. Who do you think was in church the next week? That man. Who do you think got saved when he came to church the next week? That father. Why? God called once. He called twice. But it wasn't until the barley field was burned that he came to Jesus. Now look, don't wait for God to burn your barley field. If you're here today and he's calling you to salvation and he's called you before and you've rejected him, and he's called you and you know that you're a sinner on your way to hell, you know what Jesus did for you, don't walk out of this place saying no to God. Don't make him have to kill a baby. Don't make him have to, the doctor have to say it's cancer, or you lose your health in other ways. Respond! Come! While he calls. You know what's really sad? God calls once and we reject him. God calls again. He'll call many, many times. And then he'll burn the barley field. He'll take something precious to us to get our attention. You know what's really sad is when people say no after that. It's when they don't even respond when the barley field burns. But here's what God says. He said, look, I'm going to draw a line. He says, I'm going to call and call and call. And if I have to, I'll burn your barley field. I'll send sickness. I'll send death. I want you to get saved. It's important to me that you get saved. But I think in every life, God draws a line. And he says, when you cross that line, I'm going to quit calling. Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You read over in Romans chapter 1 where God's talking about sinners. And he'll use phrases like this. God gave them up. God gave them over. God gave up on them. He called once. He called twice. 3, 4, 5, 6 times. And then he sends tragedy into your life. And he says, hey, I didn't want to do it, but I wanted to get your attention. I want you to get saved. And you reject them still. And God says, all right, you crossed the line. Won't call you anymore. Won't call you anymore. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. You know what that verse is talking about? These people that have crossed the line, who when they get to their end of their life, they look up to heaven. They've lived their whole life for the devil. They've lived their whole life the way they want to. And when they get down to heaven, 2 hours of their life left, they look up to heaven and they say, God, I'm ready to get saved now. God says, what? What? I'm ready to get saved now. God says, why should I save you? And they look to him, but God, I want you to save me. I don't want to go to hell. And God says, it's too late. I called you, and I called you, and I called you. And I sent tragedy in your life to try to get your attention. I burned your barley field, but you wouldn't come. It's too late. My dear friend, if you're here this morning, and God's called, and you have not responded yet, and he's still calling you, you come. He wants you to get saved. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven. That's why he sent Jesus. That's the salvation that Brother Wendell sang about. Jesus saves. Yes, he saves. But you need to come. Come when he calls. Don't make him get to the point where he's got to burn your barley field. Don't cross that line where he quits calling. If he's calling you this morning, you praise God. But when the invitation comes, you come running down this aisle. Don't cross the line. Don't make him burn your field. There's another time that God burns the barley field. And that's when he's calling you to service. To service. I wonder this morning, I don't know, in a crowd this size, I got to think God may be calling somebody to a special service for him. There may be a young man here that God's calling to be a preacher. There may be a middle-aged man. He always doesn't call young people. There may be a middle-aged man here today that God's calling to be a preacher. There may be somebody here that God's calling to be a Sunday school teacher. There may be somebody here that God's calling to sing in the choir. There may be somebody here this morning that God's calling to work with the children. If He's calling you to a special service, then you better heed Him. You listen. And while He's calling, come. Don't be like Joab. Don't say, I haven't got time right now. I got my mind on other things right now. Absalom, I just can't come and see you now. Because God will do just like Absalom says. Look, I'm calling them. I've got to get their attention. I'm going to burn their field. I remember reading a story months ago about a man that felt God called to preach. Came to his pastor in his office, had an appointment with him. Said, Pastor, I think God's calling me to preach. And pastor says, well, then preach. Surrender to the call. Give your life to God. Just go ahead and preach. Be a pastor. And the man says, I can't afford it. We just had a little baby, and if I quit my job and go to school, I won't be able to feed my family. And the pastor said, look, trust God. God will feed your family. He'll take care of that little baby for you. He'll give you every need. You just go. If He's calling you to preach, just praise His name and do it. Surrender and be a preacher. And the man left saying, I can't. I just can't do it. Can't give up my job. I've got a family to feed. I got a little baby to take care of. Came home 2 days later. Baby had a fever. Didn't live through the night. And as he stood with the pastor beside that little baby's casket, he said to the pastor, I guess I could preach now. I guess I could preach now. God calling you to something this morning? Just answer Him. Just answer Him. And then finally, God will also burn the barley field when He calls us from sin. When He calls us from sin. Now, I don't know what you're thinking this morning. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, this will never happen to me. My barley field will never burn. Yeah, Brother Dear, all those are nice illustrations. They're stories that happen to other people, but it'll never happen to me. He did it to other people, but He won't do it to me. My dear friend, you're His child. And if he's calling you to service this morning and He wants you to serve Him, He's going to get your attention. And if He's calling you out of sin this morning, He's also going to get your attention. God's a holy and righteous God. And He will not let His children continue in sin. And He'll call you, and He'll say, come on, get out of sin. Come back to me. Come get back into fellowship. And give up, quit the sin. Quit the sin and quit your wickedness and live for me. And He'll call again. He says, you know that's not right. And he'll have the preacher preach against that particular sin and name it. Or he'll have somebody else convict you of that sin. And he'll convict you. And he'll call and call again and call again. And you know that God's talking to you this morning about coming out of that sin. You say, no. What does God do? He does something to get your attention. He takes your job. He takes your health. He takes your home. He burns your barley field. The saddest, I tell you, some of the saddest moments I've had in my life is when I've talked to people about some sin they've had in their life and warned them. And then within a few months having to go to the hospital or to the funeral home. God's going to get our attention. He's going to do it. And he'll do it like Absalom did. He'll burn our barley fields. And he'll say, look, when we get to heaven and we talk to him about it, he said, look, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to take your health. I didn't want to take a member of your family. I didn't want to take your home. It's the only way I could get your attention. That's the only way I could get you to wake up and listen. This morning, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, and there's something in your breast that's saying, what that preacher's saying right. There's something in the back of your mind that's saying, what that preacher's saying is right. God's still calling you. Why don't you come this morning and receive Him as your Savior? Don't make Him send some tragedy into your life. Christian, if He's calling you to a special service or if He's calling you out of some sin, don't make Him have to get hard. Don't make Him have to get the torch out and set the barley field on fire. You come while He's calling. Come. Come. Father, thank You for being so sweet to us and calling us. Thank You for loving us so much that You sent Jesus to die for us, and that You keep coming back and coming back and coming back. Father, I know in my own life, I didn't get saved the first time You called me. I didn't get saved the second time or the third. But You were patient with me, and You called to me over and over and over again. And Father, those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus as their Savior, that are on their way to hell, to eternal separation from You, dear God, I pray this morning that You call them one more time. That one more time You'd send the Holy Spirit to them, and the Holy Spirit would help them understand they're a sinner. The penalty for that sin is this separation for You forever in hell. Father, help them to understand that when Jesus went to the cross, He died to pay for their sin. And all they have to do this morning is come and receive it. I pray, dear God, that You'd call somebody this morning to salvation. And Father, I pray that they'd answer that call. I pray for Christians that might be here, Father, that You're calling for other reasons. Help us to respond. We're Your children. We know what it is to answer Your call. I pray You'd make us obedient children and we'd come when You call. I pray now that You take charge of this invitation. Every person that needs to do something, I pray that they do it. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed, nobody's looking around. I want to ask this question before Brother Wendell starts to sing. Every eye is closed, every head's bowed. If you're here today and you know for sure that you're saved on your way to heaven because you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, and you could lift your hand in testimony and say, I know I'm on my way to heaven because I accepted Christ as my Savior. Would you lift your hand? Nobody's looking around. All right, thank you. Many, many hands. Thank you. There were some that weren't lifted. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, why not come when He calls? Don't put it off. Don't wait. Don't wait. You come as He calls. Father, again, bless the invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.